Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
It's time again for another episode of Snug Wrestling. This time, we're going to be talking about Monday Night Raw. This is the Raw after Saturday night's main event. They were in Tampa, Florida, and there was a lot of things that I was looking forward to the show that I needed answers to after what we saw with specifically Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed and Paul Heyman. I was really interested to see how this was going to play on tonight on Monday Night Raw. So we're going to talk about that and some of the other important things that we saw tonight. But first, how you guys doing, man? It's been a while since we last spoke, a whole 24 hours.
Doing really good, man. We came off a really nice hot Saturday night's main event. By the way, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, make sure the podcast review of Saturday night's main event is out. So make sure you follow Snug at Snug Wrestling and check that out on our Instagram channel. But it's been great. Good night for wrestling. Great weekend for wrestling, actually, all across the board. Yeah. From AEW all the way to WWE to NXT, man. So
especially for good old Trick Willie.
Oh yep. I'm doing very well personally. My sister's birthday is tomorrow. She's turning 17 and is about to graduate from high school at the end of the year. So I'm very excited about that. And I may be a criminal for this, but down in Australia we have the National Rugby League, the NRL. Tomorrow will be the State of Origin match, game one, Queensland versus New South Wales. I'm a Queenslander, even though I'm wearing a Sonic shirt, and that basically is a blue shirt, but I can't wait for tomorrow, bro.
No toxic tonight, huh?
No. And for all of our American listeners, welcome to the Memorial Day episode of the Snug Wrestling Podcast.
Yes, yes, it is Memorial Day. Had the day off today too, so that was cool. I got a long weekend, so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling energized, and I'm ready to talk about this show. Y'all ready to get into it? All right, let's get started with the opening segment. Was Seth Rollins coming out with he was rolling deep tonight with Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker and Paul Heyman. And one of the things that drove me insane was Pat McAfee comparing this to the Shield. Seth Rollins, he's been known to back himself up with a lot of talent like the Shield. And I'm like, I gave Blood a lot of shit when he was trying to compare this to Evolution. And I'm like, no, stop it. Stop comparing it to old shit. No. But here comes Pat McAfee comparing it to old shit like always. But, yeah, man, this opening segment had a lot of stuff to unpack because Paul Heyman put over Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker like he usually does. Paul Heyman being the mouthpiece that he is, he reminded everyone about the feud that he had with Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins. Do you guys remember that? Because for a minute, I completely forgot these two were going at it for quite some time, but now they're... You know, they're in the same group, and Paul Heyman put a lot of heat on Seth Rollins to the point where the fans went from singing Seth Rollins' theme song to booing Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins even got "You Sold Out" chants, and I think this is the beginning of the people are going to start to turn more and more on Seth Rollins, and it was all because of Paul Heyman. And the shit that he said, acknowledge Seth Rollins. And, you know, when it comes to Roman Reigns, the people, they're not going to allow anybody to disrespect Roman Reigns. But yeah, Seth Rollins, you know, he called his shot at Money in the Bank. He wants all the power. And how is he going to get that power? I'm going to get that Money in the Bank briefcase. So that was the opening segment. Mr. Blood, how are you feeling seeing this new group together? What did you think about all this? And anything that I missed?
No. So as far as concerned, great way to open the show. Strong. Showcasing that brand new stable. of Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, Seth Rollins, and a Hall of Famer in Paul Heyman. I think that this is awesome. I think it's an intelligent idea, you know, because sometimes you can open the show with the champion, you can open it with a match, or you can open it with the promo angle that's selling the way that the show essentially went off air. And what I think is really cool about all of this is that when you look at them, they look like a threat, man. They look like a legitimate threat, and that is what you want out of, you know, the, in my opinion, probably outside of the World Heavyweight Championship, this is just important as the world title picture because the world champion is involved in it. So even though we normally have that WrestleMania lull, there's a lull period right after Mania from like April all the way to like June or July every single year. It's kind of just a known thing at this point that WWE just goes into a lazy holding pattern at that point of time. This is them going, okay, holding pattern over. We're starting to cook now because we're on our way to Money in the Bank. We're on our way to freaking Night of Champions and this and that and SummerSlam two nights this year. So I think this was smart. I love that they heavily put over the young guys here. Bronson and Braun getting put over massively. Major important thing to do here. Make them seem legitimate, even at Seth's expense, where Seth didn't even seem despondent about the fact that he was like, Bronson crushed Seth, beat him within an inch of his life. Like, Seth was like, he did. That's exactly why he's here. So I loved it. I think it's a perfect way to set these guys up, introduce Bronson, and really, really, really sell that. Who the hell are you going to throw together to beat these guys? I love it.
I'm with him. These guys look completely dangerous. I also love the fact that Breakker is over here literally looking like the Terminator. Like, outfit, sunglasses, everything. It just gave full-blown Terminator. And Heyman did mention that right as the zoom-in happened on Bron Breakker. He literally called him the Terminator. He said if Skynet ever sent in a Terminator, it would be Bron Breakker. And honestly, at this rate, I have to agree with him. I truly do. I have to agree with him because of the fact that Bron Breakker is just so dangerous. He truly is. And when it comes to Big Bronson Reed, I will say this. Heyman put him over. He truly did. He looked at that and he's just like, know what? Yeah, I'm just going to spit facts here. I'm just going to say it how it is. There was a feud with Rollins. This is just what happened. Imagine trying to get through him in one night, knowing the fact that he smashed him into the concrete. Just imagine trying to get through him. Just doing all of this and trying to get him done within one night. Good luck is basically what Heyman was saying.
I loved this segment with Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman. They are mic gods. There's been a debate that's gone around recently, Seth Rollins versus Will Ospreay, who is better on the mic. Seth Rollins all the way for me, and this fully proves it. Seth knows how to control his vocal cords when it comes to proving a point and devising a plan, and I absolutely love that, especially as the menacing heel that he has become. I really hope somewhere in the future, when they push him to that limit, he becomes more of the Monday Night Messiah. I really hope so, but that's a big ask. But for right now, Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker look fucking handsome in those suits. They look fucking good in those suits. Way better than the Secret Harvest ever will be. But as far as it's concerned, really good segment overall. I love Seth and this new this new group that is being formed. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys, let's move on to the first opening match. Was another triple threat match, a qualifying match for the Money in the Bank. And it was Penta versus Dragon Lee versus Chad Gable. Now, whenever I think of Penta being involved in a ladder match, I get fucking like flashbacks, bad flashbacks when he did ladder matches in AEW and they would fucking go all out and fucking people's legs were getting snapped in half and all kinds of shit. So I was like, oh, if Penta wins, man, it's going to be a crazy ass match. But Chad Gable was in this match, and Chad Gable, he's already scheduled to have a match versus Hijo del Vikingo the night before Money in the Bank. So if Chad Gable were to win this one, Chad Gable's basically going to have his hands full. He would wrestle 2 days in a row at Worlds Collide and then Money in the Bank. However, after a crazy triple threat match, Penta and Dragon Lee, man, pretty much worked together versus Chad Gable. Poor Chad Gable. I felt so bad for him, like after him expressing how much he hates Lucha Libre and luchadors. They put him in the ring versus two of the best luchadors in WWE, and I was thinking, oh God, poor my boy. They did my boy Chad Gable dirty. But Penta, he ended up coming out on top because of Hijo del Vikingo, who was ringside. He got his hands dirty in this match, but it's a triple threat. No rules, anything goes. He did it in front of the ref. The ref couldn't do nothing. Penta took advantage, and Penta is advancing in the Money in the Bank. Thoughts on this, fellas? Tommy, I believe you're up.
In Vikingo's defense here, technically Chad Gable started it. He was the one who decided to throw hands with him before he even came out from the barricade. It was Chad Gable who was talking smack and actually ended up getting some hits on him. And when it comes to Penta, my immediate response is, dearest Triple H, I thought we told you to keep this man away from ladders. I get it. It was honestly between the two luchadors. I get it, because there was no possible way that you were going to have Chad Gable do back-to-back matches like that. There was just no way. But we told you to keep this man away from ladders, and now you're giving him one. Stop it. No. You better hope that people aren't broke by the time this Money in the Bank match is over. Even though Solo's probably just going to start smashing through, odds are Jacob Fatu will when he qualifies, because let's be honest, he will.
I just got to make a quick correction. Toxic, he's not on the show with us, but he is on the comments. He said Worlds Collide and Money in the Bank are in the same day. And he's absolutely right. I thought it was going to be like a 2-day thing. But if Chad Gable was going to win this, then he would wrestle two matches the same day. But he didn't win it. But I just wanted to clarify that. Go ahead, BT.
I want to talk about the match overall. And I want to talk about one spot. When Chad was beating Penta on the table, and then all of a sudden, a fucking missile in Dragon Lee takes him out, and all you hear is Pat McAfee going, holy shite! This man flew so far across that fucking ring onto the announce table, bro. He was a fucking missile. And all I can think of is Booker T going, you called that a jumbo jet? That was like a C-130, Cole. And then Chad beats the crap out of the other guy who I can't even pronounce his name. And Michael Cole gets the shits at him. What are you doing? Get back in the damn ring. Finish the damn match. One thing about Michael Cole I love about him is whenever he gets pissed off, he brings some of those JR vibes whenever he gets mad. Like, finish the damn match. Stop the damn match. I love that. But I'm very happy for Penta. And, yeah, I'm very intrigued to experience what Penta's like in ladder matches, since I've never seen him in a ladder match before. So this is a new learning thing for me. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, good old Michael Cole. Michael Cole gets sassy. He gets sassy. He brings out that old Jim Ross. Finish the damn match. Get in there. Hellfire and brimstone. My God, he's been broken in half. But I tell you what, man. I think this might have been my match of the night. This match was so fucking fun. And by the way, I remember sitting there like holding my breath when Penta... when Penta got Dragon Lee in for the backpack, it looked like he was going to go for a backpack or perhaps a gory, and he got him in for the backpack, looked like a stunner, backpack stunner, and then freaking he gets a pile driver on Chad Gable, and that just when he dropped him, Chad went down, his neck went back, and I held my breath. I physically was next to my wife, and I went, oh my God, is he okay? And I got so scared for Chad. But Chad, you know, the thing is, he had definitely softened that spot that got busted open later by Vikingo when Vikingo kicked him, because it was the same spot he done smashed his face on when he hit that ground. And I'll tell you what, from bell to bell, from post to post, from coast to coast, all gas, no breaks with it. This match was literally a fucking bag of fun. Everything about the match was great. And I love that as much as they had touted this incredible luchador that was Dragon Lee 2 years ago when he came up and they paired him, you know, with Rey Mysterio, they put him in a match so he could showcase who he fucking is, man, and reminding the audience, yo, I'm great at this shit. And he was awesome from that freaking, I don't want to say it, but a self-unalive dive. Let's put it that way. The missile dive, we'll put it that way for the TikTok audience. And just lawn darted himself into Chad Gable was insane. And you know, the sad thing is Chad would have won had he just not punched Vikingo. He was winning. He would have won. Without him punching Vikingo, he hits that moonsault and pins. And I thought this was just great match, great setup. These guys had chemistry for days. I wouldn't be mad to see this triple threat run back at some point. This was so much fun. Sets up Vikingo and Chad for Worlds Collide. But yeah, man, this might be my match of the night. Not a single complaint about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it had a lot of extra like gaga to it with the Hijo del Vikingo getting involved, which sets up the match, hypes up the match between Chad Gable and Hijo del Vikingo at Worlds Collide, and it just makes it more interesting. I want to see these two go at it now, and it's not, it doesn't have that, oh, this is just a random match put together, and they're just going to wrestle. No, like, now there's something to look forward to for that match. So I think that was also really, really interesting, not just the match itself, but the extra that came with it also. But you guys, we got good news. Liv Morgan is back. Liv Morgan is back on Raw. She showed up right when Roxanne was about to get frisky with good old Dom. And Dom got caught red-handed again, you know, getting his shoulders rubbed while he was about to eat some more chicken nuggets that was given to him by Roxanne. And Liv Morgan walks in right when that was about to happen. And I'm like, I'm all for this, man. I love the drama. I love to see Dom getting caught. Is that bad? Like, Finn Balor had the best reaction to this. He was in the background like a happy little kid. Like, Oh my God, this is so cool. That was me. That was me during this segment. I was Finn Balor during this segment. I was loving this, man. But yeah, I wasn't expecting to see Liv Morgan back that soon, but I'm actually glad that she's back. Sorry, BT. But yeah, what'd you guys think about this backstage segment if you guys saw it?
What did Raquel say in Spanish? Because I couldn't understand a single fucking word she said at the end of it.
She basically said, "I told you so, and you're going to pay," basically, is what she said.
Okay.
3 minutes and PG.
Fuck you, blood.
TikTok language, my friend. TikTok language.
Okay. It pains me to say this, but welcome back, Liv Morgan. This fucking bitch-ass group has been needing you. Oh my God. Liv coming back, finding out that Dom has been hanging out with Roxanne, or Roxanne is trying to provoke Dominic, whatever the story is. Fuck this whole story in general. And fuck Triple H for putting Roxanne, known as the Prodigy, into this bullshit. You are just telling the simple fact that Roxanne is only fucking watchable if a man is by her fucking side. You did the same shit for over 6 months with Liv Morgan and Dominic. And now you're looking to do the same thing in a future star in Roxanne Perez. Fuck you, Triple H. I thought you would have known better, but apparently not. Fuck Triple H for that. This segment in general was fun. I'll give it that. But fuck Triple H for going in this direction.
Well, look, as far as concerned, I think the segment's fun. I find it always interesting to me that they somehow, after almost like 4 years, this has been a group now through different iterations, but it's been almost 4 years that the Judgment Day has been a thing, which is crazy. And I think that I find it very kind of inspired that they always find new ways to keep telling new stories with the team, and cycling in new characters to keep it fresh. I don't think it's actually a bad thing at all that Roxanne Perez is involved. In fact, I think he's doing it on purpose to help her. You got to understand, she's new on the main roster. Pardon me. She's new on the main roster. They don't probably know where to put her against anyone right now in the divisions. They're probably waiting to see what happens with the draft. So what better way than to stick her with an already established act that gets a lot of TV time, which means a lot of exposure for her, and they involve her in not one, but two championships business. She's involved with Dominic, and now she's going to get involved with Liv, who is also a champion. So this is good for her because it's constant exposure. Instead of shooting her up on the main roster for a couple of weeks and then she ends up in catering for 3 weeks while they figure out how to bring her back onto the roster, just like they did to Dragon Lee and dozens of others. She's all, if anything, if it was me, I'd be like, oh, thank God I'm in the Judgment Day story. I'll get at least 3 segments every single week. I'll be on TV to get to showcase what I can do, and I'll get matches out of this. I'm just thinking TV time, TV time, TV time. That's a good thing for Roxanne. I also like how they played this here, where this breakup can now feel like it's going to happen from any side. It could feel like Liv is going to cause the split and betray them. It feels like Finn could cause a betray and split them. Now it feels like Roxanne could cause the split from the inside out. And now, remember when I said it looks like they could break off into different factions? Well, you're starting to see where the cracks are folding, because Liv herself, she threw Raquel under the bus later on in the night, which we'll get to. But I like this because it's adding layers and layers and layers, because this story for a while felt like, oh, it's just going to be Finn that seals the nail in the coffin to end the Judgment Day. Now it could come from 3 different places, and they're building all of those individual spots one by one simultaneously. So it could happen at any given moment from any one of the people involved. And I think that's pretty fucking cool. So I'm excited to see where this goes, but I think this is a very, very big deal for Roxanne. And before I finish, I do like, I wish the crowd would have popped for it, but Carlito was funny there with that comedic timing, man. That was funny. Man, you shouldn't be trying to eat her chicken nuggets. I thought was a hilarious innuendo, and he sold it. I just wish the crowd would have been would have popped for it. But all in all, this is a good segment. Really good.
Oh, Lev, welcome back. But at the same time, you have impeccable timing. Over here coming back in the clubhouse, right as Roxanne is over here trying to give Dom that little shoulder massage of hers. You have impeccable timing. I love it. The little face-off between her and Dom, that little conversation. Blood, no, stop it. But that little conversation, it's like, yeah, I know exactly what's been going on. Raquel's been holding me up. Now, I will deal with all of those later. First, I need to figure out how to get myself a Money in the Bank qualifying match. We'll see it next week if that's even a thing. Like, overall, we will see. But with this, as Blood said, Carlito, with his hilarious jab at Dom, it's like, dude, you're fucking funny. I only wish you could be in the ring at least once. Like, I know that you can't do as much as you used to, but you can still do some stuff. Like, I love Carlito. But right now, he's been more like R-Truth lately, where he's mostly a backstage comedic character. And I would love to see if he still got it in the ring.
Yeah, I'd like to add something to this, because this looks oddly familiar. This is exactly, if you guys think back and you guys remember, this is exactly how Liv and Dom started with, their relationship, quote unquote. Rhea Ripley walking in on Dom, like, just getting, like, a massage, or, you know, letting Liv borrow his jacket and, like, little things like that. And what happened? What happened when they put Liv with Dom? It made Liv more interesting. It made her more like a bigger character in the show. And if you put anyone with Dominic Mysterio at this point, they're automatically going to get over. So, I actually, this is the first time that I actually care about Roxanne. Like, I don't care about her. Nothing that she did in NXT to me was, like, groundbreaking. This is what's going to get Roxanne over with the crowd. And I'm all for this. I'm glad Liv is back. Never thought I would say that, but...
May I add something very quickly? Mm-hmm. This isn't a knock on Roxanne, what Snug and I are saying, because I see it written all over our good boy BT's face. It's not that we don't like Roxanne. It's that you got to understand from a point of view of Snug and I, who have been wrestling fans for over two decades at this point, we have seen dozens of Roxannes. So for us, it's not, to us, there's nothing really innately special about her because we've seen her 30 times. And there's always that new prodigy, always that next up and coming talent that's the greatest thing ever. It was Paige, and then it was AJ Lee, and then it was the Bella Twins, and it was Michelle McCool, and then it was Caitlyn, and then it was Tori Wilson, and Trish Stratus, and Lee. We've been seeing this, he and I, for over 20 years. So it's not that we don't think she's talented. It's not that we don't think she's great in the ring, but her character isn't anything new. Snarky heel who thinks she's the greatest is not new. Sorry, that's old hack. We think that this is a great way to add layers to her, really get that heel heat in her, and then give her the TV time to showcase her ability. So there's no knock on her. We just think this is finally where she actually gets to show us more of who she should be. That's all we're saying.
Well, let's talk about Rusev versus Tozawa. Why are we going to talk about this match? This was a squash match. There's nothing to say about this match. We knew Rusev was going to win. But I want to talk about this because since Rusev came back, I was really excited for Rusev's return, right? And it hasn't really been like the most exciting thing. It's kind of been whatever because of how he came in. He came in attacking Otis and Tozawa. And I think those are the only two matches he's had, Rusev, so far since he came back. But after this match versus Tozawa, he wouldn't let go of the hold, the Rusev, the hold that Rusev uses.
The Acolyte.
Thank you. And out came out an old friend, well-known companion, friend, and enemy of Rusev, Sheamus, came out, and they had a nice little stare down. So I think we're finally gonna get what we've been waiting for from Rusev, a real serious feud, some real competition here. Are you guys excited at all to see this Sheamus versus Rusev at any point?
I definitely am, because about a month and a half or so ago, maybe nearly two, myself, Snug, and Tommy did an entire special podcast where we talked about the potential return of Rusev, and we were fantasy booking the feuds we wanted to see him in. And if you haven't seen that or heard it, you can go ahead and download that. That is on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. If you want to hear our thoughts on that, it's a very good podcast, a lot of great ideas that you haven't thought of yet. But I am extremely excited for this. I know that some of you guys aren't the biggest fans of Sheamus. I am a massive Sheamus fan. I was watching it live when he debuted way back in 2009. Up to this point, I've seen every match he's ever had. I love Sheamus. My fucking second favorite match of all time is him versus Gunther at the first one at Clash of the Castle. I thought that shit was one of the best matches I've ever seen. To see, and one of the people we had talked about him going up against, aside from Bronson Reed and Gunther on that podcast, we did say Sheamus. Two hard-hitting brawlers. Two, pardon me. Two hard-hitting brawlers. Two big, meaty men slapping meat, right? But these guys also have the ability to be very stiff in a style that they are comfortable wrestling with and won't complain about getting hit hard. So you know when you see these guys in a match, it's going to be brutal. It's going to be physical. It's going to be raw. And you're going to be like, holy shit, you know? And the cool thing about this is there's already history built in here. For a lot of you who will not remember what I'm about to say, League of Nations was a team many a moon ago that was a thrown together team because Vince has got a Vince and said, I want all of the foreign heels to join forces, Alberto Del Rio and Wade Barrett and Sheamus and Rusev, because I got nothing else for any of you guys to do, so you're going to do random nothings together. And they didn't do fuck all for months. It was like when he threw the Core together, another group that was just the remnants of the Nexus. So the League of Nations went nowhere, but these guys were tag partners, stable mates for a while. So there's history built in. But also, if you look at the roster, with everybody being busy, who possibly could be his first match that not only has real history with him, but can match his physicality in the ring? And Sheamus ain't a tapper. So that's why the Acolyte being a finishing maneuver is going to be interesting. I'm excited for this. The squash on Akira was extremely brutal, especially since I have never seen him roll anyone backwards in the Acolyte and do a half rear naked choke at the same time. So that was fucking cool. And I was like, Jesus Lord, my wife was literally like, let him go. And I thought it was awesome. So I'm extremely excited about this. This is a great first real feud for him. So yeah, let's do this shit.
The first real match for Rusev. Holy shit. You've got the past two matches, which have been squash matches, to say it lightly, because that's what they were. They were just full-on squash matches. and for Sheamus specifically to come out, holy shit. I mean, with Roman currently already busy, mentally I'm still possibly for Rusev and Roman to run it back, because he hasn't wrestled him since the dog days with Roman. It's been a minute. But I really do want Rusev to go up against Roman at some point, because that, again, would be one hell of a match. But with Sheamus being his first real match, hell yeah. Let him at it. Let him go. Let him have a good, like, 30-minute match right then and there. Let him have it. That's going to be one hell of a match.